بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون كجسد واحد، إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، إلى آخر الحديث، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we prepare to welcome back this weekend those fortunate individuals who were afforded the opportunity to embark on the journey of a lifetime, the Hujjaj, those who visited Baytullah, those who were fortunate enough to stand on the plains of Arafah, of Muzdalifah, to pelt the Jamarat, to make their Tawafu Ziyara, to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are reminded of two unique opportunities given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two opportunities to practice upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will not be afforded to us at any other time of the year. Two sunnah practices of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam pertaining to welcoming and greeting the returning haji. On one hand, the masnoon dua that was recited by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when meeting and greeting the haji. On one hand, we may greet him, we may make mu'anaqa and hug him, and we may offer words of encouragement, offer du'as of acceptance for him. But the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carry such weight that can never be matched by our words. How did Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam welcome the returning haji? A very simple yet very effective dua consisting of three portions. The first phrase Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, upon meeting the haji, upon greeting him, would say to him, قَبِيلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ. May Allah accept your hajj. And in this is a subtle reminder to the haji himself that Arafah was not the goal, Mina was not the goal, Muzdalifah was not the goal, Safa Marwa was not the goal, Ka'batullah was not the goal. It was the pleasure and the acceptance of Allah that was the goal and objective of your journey. May Allah accept your hajj. And with this, if there may be any lingering envy or jealousy in my heart, why was he called, why did I not get the opportunity? Then by virtue of asking Allah to accept him, this jealousy is removed. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would go on to say, وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ. May Allah forgive your sins. This was the objective, this was the purpose of you embarking on this journey, so that you would return with your book of evil deeds considerably lighter, so that you would return with a clean slate, having rid yourself of your evil habits. May Allah make that a reality for you. وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ. May Allah forgive every last sin of yours. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would conclude the dua with something that possibly would weigh very heavily on the mind of the returning haji. How do I recoup the expenses that were spent? It perhaps cost him his entire life savings. He went on the journey of hajj, and now that he returns, reality will come back. Now I need to put that money back into the business. Now I need to build up my nest egg once again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam concludes the dua, وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكْ. May Allah replace whatever it is that you spent. Every dirham, every dinar, every rand, every cent. Ulama go to the extent of saying, even that which was non-monetary, every bit of energy that was expended, every footstep that you took, every bead of perspiration that dropped down your face, may Allah replace this for you. May Allah replace the wealth that you spent. May Allah replace the energy that you expended. May Allah give it all back to you manifold. A simple dua yet effective. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would recite this or make this dua for the returning haji. قبل الله حجك وغفر ذنبك وأخلف نفقتك. And the second opportunity afforded to us during this period of time, which again we will not find for the remainder of the year. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam very strongly emphasizes to the non-haji, the one who was not blessed with the opportunity this year, that when you meet the haji, greet him, make salam to him. And then don't ask him, don't request him. Rather, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, murhu, instruct him to make dua of maghfirat for you. Instruct him to make istighfar for you. Why? Because the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj, wali man istaghfara lahu al hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the haji. Oh Allah, forgive whomsoever the haji makes istighfar for. So don't ask him, instruct him, beg him that please include me in your du'as of istighfar. And perchance if a person is unable to meet the haji before he enters his home, which would be preferable, for how long does this glad tiding last? Many may assume or think a period of 40 days. The barakat, the blessings, the benefit of the hajj, and the acceptance of dua will continue. But the kindness of Allah, the favor of Allah upon us. One narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for 90 days from the day of Eid, the remainder of the month of Dhul Hijjah, the entire month of Muharram, the entire month of Safar, right up until the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal, his du'as are guaranteed accepted in the court of Allah. So instruct him, beg him, implore him, beseech him, that as much as you will make dua for yourself and your family, include me in your du'as. Two golden opportunities, my dear brothers. The masnoon du'a of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when welcoming and greeting the haji, and the request or the instruction to make dua a maghfirat for you and I. This opportunity will only come after a period of 12 months once again. So this weekend particularly, let us take advantage of these two opportunities. Having said that, my dear brothers and elders, it is a reality that it was just a small fraction or percentage of the ummah and the community who were blessed with the opportunity of embarking on the journey of Hajj this year. For perhaps 99% or 95% of the community, this opportunity was not afforded to us. And the question that was lingering over the past few weeks and continues to linger in our minds, and the question that should be there, is the haji has gone ahead and secured great rewards from the side of Allah. But what is there left for you and I? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go to great lengths to make the sahaba radiallahu anhu understand that deen is not an exclusive religion. The deen of Islam is not exclusive and inaccessible to the masses. Rather, Allah has kept something for everyone. And while the haji may have gone ahead and secured reward, what opportunity remains for you and I? To highlight this point, on one occasion, sahaba radiallahu anhum come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those who were not so financially well off, and they present a complaint in his court. O Nabi of Allah, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. O Nabi of Allah, the wealthy ones have taken away all the reward. What do you mean? O Nabi of Allah, يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّ وَيَصُومُونَ كَمَا نَصُومُ. We exert ourselves in reading salah. Salah is accessible to them. We exert ourselves in fasting. Fasting is accessible to them. But O Nabi of Allah, there is an avenue open to them that is not open to us. They have wealth which they are able to spend in the path of Allah. What do we have to spend in the path of Allah? They are able to secure greater rewards than us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his compassionate, in his caring and kind way, he allays the fears, he soothes the concerns of the sahaba. He says to them, has Allah not left anything for you to give in charity? Don't you know every tasbih you recite is sadaqah? Every takbir you recite is sadaqah. Every time you say la ilaha illallah, you will get the reward of sadaqah. To this extent, when you are intimate with your spouse, here too you will secure the reward of sadaqah. What is the message Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving forth? Deen is not exclusive. There is a door open for everyone. While the hujjaj have secured their reward, what is left for you and I, respected brothers and elders? Four very simple practices mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For the non-haji to secure the reward of the haji. The hadith of Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam offers us a very simple prescription. من خرج من بيته متطهرا إلى صلاة مكتوبة. That person who leaves home in the condition of wudu. He performs his wudu at home and then comes to the masjid for his fard, salah wa jamaat. He does not unnecessarily make use of the masjid facility. Rather, he prepares ahead of time at home. He takes out the time to make wudu at home and come to the masjid. Something which outwardly on the surface seems to be a very insignificant action. But because it shows to Allah his readiness, his willingness to prepare ahead of time, what is the reward? What will he secure from the side of Allah? أَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ الْحَاجِّ الْمُحْرِمِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his reward for every step he takes, every moment he spends in the masjid thereafter, for this entire round trip of his, which is perhaps 15-20 minutes, barely costs him anything. His reward will be the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. The haji in the state of ihram under the sweltering heat of Makkah Mukarrama, after having spent his entire life savings and endured the difficulty of the journey, traveling with strangers, staying in accommodation that was not to his liking, his entire diet was upside down, his sleep pattern was disrupted, he walked such a distance that he perhaps did not cover in the last 5 or 6 months. And yet with all this difficulty, every step Allah rewards him and rewards him and rewards him. And here the opportunity is given to you and I to walk out of the air-conditioned room, to get into the air-conditioned car, and to drive to the masjid where the aircon is on, to perform his salah on soft carpet, and to secure the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. What is the message? Allah has kept an opportunity, a door open for everyone. Deen is not exclusive, but there is something for everyone. Then the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, famous narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about Salatul Ishraq. That person who comes to the masjid and he reads his Fajr Salah wa Jamaat, and then ثُمَّ قَعَدَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. When the world is waking up, when curtains are being opened, when engines are being started, when emails are now being replied to, when the messages start coming in, and when the reel of his day begins to play in his mind, the school run will begin, the customers will start phoning, the suppliers need to be paid. With all of these obligations on his mind, he starts his day with the remembrance of Allah. He takes out time to remember Allah in the masjid. Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah has mentioned, even if he has to leave the house of Allah, he reads his Fajr Salah and he leaves and goes home, but he is engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Verbally or psychologically, he is thinking of Allah. He starts his day with Allah at the front. What will his reward be? أَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ حَجَّةٍ وَعُمْرَةٍ كَانَتْ لَهُ كَأَجْرِ حَجَّةٍ وَعُمْرَةٍ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he will secure the reward of Hajj and Umrah together. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as you and I may have the question, O Nabi of Allah, will this really be the case? Fajr, Salah, and a little bit of dhikr, and he gets the reward of Hajj and Umrah? Such a lengthy journey, difficult journey. Will he really get that full reward? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasizes and drives home the point, Tammah, tammah, tammah. 3 times Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he will secure the reward of an entire Hajj and Umrah. This is the reality. This is the kindness of Allah. This is the mercy of Allah. These are the opportunities afforded to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to make it even easier for us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a practice that will not take away any time of our day. It does not require us to sit down and engage in this action. A person is perhaps able to do it while driving, while walking, while preparing his breakfast in the morning. Man sabbaha Allah mi'atan bil ghadat wa mi'atan bil ashi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that person who will make the tasbih of Allah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening, even if it be while engaged in his daily work, what reward is there for him? Kana kaman hajja mi'ata marra. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it is as though he has performed hajj 100 times. This is not a fairy tale, my dear brothers. This is the kindness of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon this ummah. These are the opportunities afforded to you and I. Again, what is the mindset behind it? I start my day with the remembrance of Allah. I end my day with the remembrance of Allah. And Allah will secure for me the reward of the haji. And then the fourth practice, which is very relevant, very pertinent, and which we have mentioned before. A person comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Inni ashtahil jihad, wala akhdiru alay. O Nabi of Allah, it is my heartfelt desire to fight in the path of Allah. But I don't have the means. I don't have the ability to do so. For you and I am far away from the action. I don't have the ability to offer my life, my blood. What do I do? Is there any way for me to get the same reward? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, Hal baqiya min walidayka ahad? They tell me, are either of your parents still living? He says, O Nabi of Allah, ummi, my mother is alive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to him, فَأَبْلِلَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا. Show Allah your loyalty, show Allah your dedication by serving your mother. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ. If you will do so, if you will fulfill the rights of your parents, فَأَنْتَ مُجَاهِدٌ وَحَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ. Then you have secured the reward of the haji, of the person going for umrah, of the person who has given his life in jihad. If you will dedicate your time to the service of your parents, regardless of your age or their age, then here too you have the opportunity to secure the reward of the haji. 4 very simple actions, yet effective actions. To leave home in the state of wudu for one's fard salah in the masjid, the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. To spend a little bit of time after the fajr salah in the remembrance of Allah, and then to read 2 rakats of salatul ishraq, the reward of Hajj and Umrah. To take the name of Allah 100 times in the morning and evening, the reward of 100 times Hajj. And to be dutiful, obedient, respectful, to fulfill the rights of one's parents, regardless of age, regardless of circumstance, the reward of the Haji, the reward of the Mu'tamir, the reward of the Mujahid in the path of Allah. The lesson from all of us, all of this, my dear brothers, it is a'mal, it is turning to Allah that will pull down the assistance of Allah. There's just a few minutes left. It is no secret, my dear brothers, that currently we are going through a very trying time in our country, in the world at large as well. But particularly in our country, there is unrest, there is instability, and many people are fearful of what may arise in the coming weeks and months. People are concerned, and rightfully so, regarding their wealth, their property, their possessions, their families, their security. But this too is an opportunity for us to introspect. Before discussing the solution or the reaction from the side of a believer, there is one golden question that I should ask myself, you should ask yourself. When last did I have this amount of fear and concern over my iman? When there was a threat to my iman, was I this concerned? Or did I just overlook this? Nevertheless, what should be the response of a believer? On one hand, the believer is proactive. He is not reactive. He does not wait for the proverbial burglar to enter his home before building the wall or installing the alarm system. But he takes steps to ensure his safety and security. And therefore, it goes without saying that we need to be prepared. Physically, financially, as far as arms may be concerned, as far as our skills may be concerned, this is something that we do not shy away from. But this is in the interest of protecting ourselves and our communities. But at the same time, my dear brothers, what is the driving force behind this? Together with the physical preparation, but that which will draw the assistance of Allah is in turning back to Allah. Many a times, the ulama are accused of oversimplifying matters. A'mal won't do it. We need to be prepared. And we need to physically get up and defend ourselves by all means. And without a doubt, we do need to do this. But to understand the value of A'mal, it is the battle of Badr. What advice is given to Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, idha laqitum fi'atan. O people of Iman, when you are on the battlefield, when the enemy is staring you in the face, when death is staring you in the face, when all you can think about is the physical preparation, the weapons at hand, the number at hand, فَثْبُتُوا, remain firm. And if you want to be successful, if you want the assistance of Allah, what does Allah say? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Increase your dhikr of Allah. Increase your remembrance of Allah. Remain conscious of Allah. This will draw the assistance and the mercy of Allah. At this time, my dear brothers, together with the physical preparations that we need to engage in, we should not fall short in turning back to Allah. If I am engaged in some guna, some sin, now is the time for me to make tawbah between myself and Allah. To rid myself of this evil habit for the sake of Allah. And in doing so, I will draw the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzah. It will not be only for my protection, the protection of my family, my community, my wealth, my property, my possessions. And at the same time, to put our shoulders to the wheel, to exert ourselves in increasing our ibadat. If I am not in the masjid, to come to the masjid. If I am not opening Quran, to begin opening the Quran. Even if I have to increase by half a page a day. But this collectively will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will allow us to keep the azab and the punishment of Allah at bay. The Quraysh of Makkah were afraid that the punishment of Allah would come. They knew very well that they were breaking the commands of Allah left, right and center. They had rejected the Nabi of Allah. Allah tells them, two things have protected you. Two things have held back the azab of Allah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah's punishment is not coming whilst Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is present. His Mubarak presence is protecting you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no longer there to protect us. But the second aspect, Allah then says to them, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah's azab will not come as long as you are engaged in seeking His forgiveness. Mufassirin mention, it was not necessarily the Muslim asking for forgiveness. The mushrikeen of Makkah, those who rejected Tawheed, but during the course of their ibadat and their tawaf of Baytullah, they too would make istighfar, even if it was just verbal. Even if there was no sincerity behind it, just the lip service of istighfar was enough to keep the adab and punishment of Allah at bay. We can well imagine if we engage in fervent istighfar, in fervent dua, if we genuinely make an effort to change our lives, then together with the preparation that we will engage in, Allah will keep His punishment away and Allah will grant us a safe and comfortable and peaceful atmosphere in our country, in the world at large. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.